Games from the Cellar, the board gaming podcast. So, Summoner Wars. This used to be an old favorite of ours, and we haven't played it in quite a while.
Yeah. This is now starting to be considered an old game.
Yeah, it's in its second edition, or is it a third edition? I think it's in its second edition.
Well, the first edition was the little baby packs.
Yeah, those were two starter sets.
Yeah.
So when you got both of those, you had four factions.
Right, and then they had and then individual factions came out.
Then
after
individual
that.
Factions came out, and then a couple of master sets came out that added even more factions.
Yeah, and you played on paper maps, so you got this game. It was like Magic the Gathering. You could go in and just sort of buy one because you felt like it.
Yeah, and I recall the first time I played it was at Origins, whatever year it happened to be. And I just saw a little box on the table because it's literally one of those boxes that's three decks wide. Three cards wide.
Right.
We picked it up and looked at it and we're like, okay, this looks like a tactical type of card game like Magic. I think it was the red box. So I think it was Fire Elves and Goblins, maybe.
I can't recall.
But it was definitely the Elves. And I think we probably played it six or eight times, swapping factions back and forth. And just that one sit down, probably took us 2 hours. But
yeah, because you can bang them out real quick.
We were having such a good time with it. So I went the next day to the con hall, found Plaid Hat Games, and bought both of the sets. Because at the time, those were the only two things that were available.
Okay.
And then just throughout the course of, our gaming, I purchased the rest of the sets, or at least the ones that I could get my hands on. And I know we tried to shoehorn this as a three-player game a couple of times with Kyle.
Yeah.
I know we played a couple of team games with Kyle and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember playing this probably a dozen times with you at your house.
Okay. Yeah, I believe that. I have memories of that.
Yeah. And then I know you also have played this with your son, which is a fun story in and of itself.
Yeah, Sean plays all defense. So this game, which we'll probably knock out in 30 minutes for the set, could often take as much as an hour and a half whenever he was playing, because it wasn't so much winning as it was not losing for him, as he would get himself walled into a corner somewhere and come up with some kind of, he wasn't cheating the rules, but he was certainly using them to his advantage to make sure that he could just never lose.
He liked to turtle.
Yes. Yeah. And in a two-player game, that it's just like, would you just get out here and fight, you coward? I mean, you're just calling it out, but there's only so much you could do. Sean would stick to his guns. God bless him for that.
Yeah. And, there's probably, 24, 28, 30 factions in the box that I have. So I have the Summoner Wars Alliances set, which is the Alliances set had, I think, eight summoners that were mashups of previous summoners. And then whatever the other set, I have pretty much everything that was available for the first edition except for, I think half of the second summoners. So they went back and each faction, they made another summoner instead of common units for.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
So there's a lot of content here.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, it's pretty available in the secondary market. There is a second edition where they haven't quite caught up to where they had gotten before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a pretty substantial following as well. I had considered getting into it as well, but two-player games just aren't.
Don't come out that
They don't much come out very often. I say lucky. We had a night tonight where it's just John and I, which is good because somehow Samuel was in more episodes than either of us. So this is just evening the score. Because we can't have that happen. So, in the times that you've played, do you have any recollection of any of the factions that you've played or any that have stood out to you or that you particularly enjoy?
Yeah, so you know, I had the master set, and there's one with the, that has all the cats in it, the one faction that has all the cats in it. I always liked that one because it was pretty mobile. And it's funny, you know, when I look at this game, there's a whole lot of this. In spite of this game being very simple and the rule set is very simple, it's the kind of thing you can probably read through and be ready to go in 15 minutes from a dead cold start. There's a lot of traditional war game here. There's favored ground, there's cornering, there's blocking, there's ways to have an effect on your opponent, and each of the cards that are on the table. So instead of having little cardboard chits, you've got cards, and the cards have the details on, and each, well, I shouldn't say each unit, not each card, but there's each set has like five or six units and some magic spells and things like that. And each one has a little bit of unique to them. So, and each alliance sort of has a flavor. Mm-hmm. So you might have a flavor that shoots arrows, you might have a flavor that is very fast but doesn't hit as hard, or that kind of thing. Everything's kind of got their own little slice, and some allow you to actually claim another player's piece, mm-hmm. and make that your own. So it's a nice mix of managing magic. There's a hand management aspect to it, where sometimes you actually want to discard cards from your hand, even though that brings you closer to the end, because that's how you power up what you're trying to do on the board. It's typically a two-player game. You can play a four-player game very easily with teammates, and you can just essentially go across and wreck into the people on the other side of the board, so you don't just have to fight the person that's across from you. You know, my biggest memory of it is I'm like, oh, this kind of scratches that itch, that my very rarely get to play tactical war game itch, because usually they're kind of big and complicated, and I don't have a whole lot of friends that do that sort mm-hmm. of thing. This lets me get that out. It's so accessible. You can take any gamer. You can take a boy that's 8 years old or a girl that's 8 years old, and they can play this very well as well. I mean, it just, as long as you got your basic reading skills down and a little bit of imagination, you can make this roll. And I'm always impressed that it's sort of, you find yourself in a position that maybe wasn't exactly what you intended, but might turn out to your favor anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the game kind of has a narrative to it as you play, and oftentimes the post game show after this is pretty interesting.
Yeah. So I gravitate towards three factions, if I recall correctly. Okay. The Mountain Vargath is like the Minotaur looking ones. Mm-hmm. Their summoner is named Sunderved.
Mm-hmm.
And his the faction flavor there is they are big, beefy, and mobile. But they move around the board and they hit really hard, and you have to kill whatever it is that you hit, because it's probably going to turn around and wipe you off the board. The other one that I play a lot was the Phoenix Elves, which is, mm-hmm. again, like you said, that range. They're all about ranged attacks, and then, you know, being close to their walls and shooting from their walls from cover. So this game plays on two levels. Like, you can go in completely blind. You can just open a deck like we've done. You can play them straight out of the deck box and have a good time, but you can also devote time to a particular faction and get really good with it, because
right.
There's enough here, and I'm not saying, like, yes, I have a box that has like 30 factions in it. If you only had four factions, you could play this a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you see this, like, I know a lot of game stores now have used game sections, where mm-hmm. sometimes their best purchases are, because they're cheaper and there's some really great games in there. If you see a small set of Summoner's Wars, which might be four decks, might be six or eight, that's a great pickup, and it's probably going to cost you like $20. And
if that, I would probably say they're probably $10 at this point.
Yeah, because people don't buy old stuff, but there's good old stuff out there if you get your eyes open, and this is the kind of thing that you might consider grabbing on.
Yeah, and even the second edition, it plays pretty much the same.
Yeah.
The difference with the second edition is they went back and retooled some of the character stats to make it more balanced and play a little quicker. And then they also made the building your own army rules a little more robust. Right. So you find with base Summoner Wars, you are basically only using the decks that are provided for you. You have the option to use the reinforcement decks to kind of switch it up a little bit, but generally you're going to have a really good time with the base ones. Not that you wouldn't have a good time with the base second edition, but they focus, they really made a concerted effort in the second edition to allow you to do that customization. And so you can't go wrong with either edition is basically what I'm trying to get really. At. All right, cool. Well, I picked, let's see, who did I pick? Selendar of the Shadow Elves.
I am Frick, Summoner of the Cave God.
And so, Cave Goblins.
Goblins. His staff is in front of the title. You're right. It's Cave Goblins.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So basically what I'm seeing is I again somehow picked a faction that's highly mobile. It looks like some of my guys can replace units that I've killed. And then my summoner, if I move into range of another character, I get bonus attacks. So it really seems like closing is something that these guys are going to be wanting to do.
Okay. And oh, one last point. You win by defeating the other guy's summoner.
Yeah,
it's kill like the chess. Summoner. Kill the sun. Kill the king.
What do your guys look like based on what you see?
First of all your guys have one hit point, so that lifts my spirits a little bit. My guys are kind of goblin-y looking critters, and I see a little bit of speed. This guy, these clingers, can grab onto other characters and essentially take a free ride with them so that they don't have to use their own movement points. So that's kind of nice because you get movement and you get attack. And if you can get a free ride with somebody, that ain't bad. So everybody on my board looks like they're relatively cheap to get out of your deck and onto the board, so I get the feeling this is going to be more of a Zerg rush than anything else. Just get people down and start rushing towards you.
All right, awesome. Well, we're going to get into it and see who comes out on top, and we will report back after we're done. So it should come as no shock at all to anybody that knows anything about John and gaming, or me and John and gaming. He wiped the floor with me. I got no hits on his summoner.
Yeah.
And he killed mine with a magic junkie.
my army had a guy whose special ability was called Magic Junkie. And he came out for free. He was a champion that you didn't pay anything to get out. So usually the champions are kind of your power guys. And usually so when you destroy an enemy unit, or if you want to, you can just discard from your hand, which of course is the stuff that you fight with. That goes into a pile of cards called your magic cards. And a champion, you'll usually have to pay 4, 5, 6, maybe even 8 cards in order to play down one of these powerful creatures. Well, mine was at 0, but then I had to pay a magic every single turn I wanted to leave him on the board, or poof, off he'd go, and he'd end up in my opponent's magic pile. So if I didn't want to give him to Steven, I was going to have to pay for him. So when I got him out in the game, Steven had advanced his summoner. He'd gone on offense. And I'll be honest with you.
Rolling some really bad die.
Had me worried.
How these games go.
I got some breaks and was able to stay in the battle and got some guys around him and was able to chew him up. So it's, you know, the thing I didn't mention before we played, and I'd forgotten about it, to be honest with you, because, I mean, we really haven't played this game since, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah,
except for that one except for that one exception, we have not played this game for 10 years, which is kind of a shame, because this is one of those games that, you know, you kind of always remember, if you get the chance to summon a war, go for it. And we just haven't.
We used to play it so often.
Yeah.
And the fact that we used to try to shoehorn it as a 3- and 4-player game, just kind of as a testament to how much fun we were having with it back in the day.
Yeah, gives you an idea. And, you know, the other button it kind of pushes, it reminds me of tactical combat games, is that there's a logistical aspect. There's a operations aspect that I got to get this guy out of the way in order to get the guy I really want up there in order to do his thing. So you're ending up spending some of your energy, some of your movement, and some of your attacks in order to get the people into the place where you want them to be. So getting that order of battle set up the way you want. And this is all a microcosm. I mean, this is on a board. Each side is, 6x4? So it's 48 total spaces on the board. This is smaller than a chessboard, to give you an idea. And the pieces can move or the pieces, the cards can move a couple of spaces each time. And if you've got some special cards, they can move more than that. So it's a tight little spot, and getting your pieces out and around and, you know, developing some level of defense for your summoner while at the same time still getting some offense out. It takes a little bit of, you know, I got to figure out this puzzle, figure out how to get that open. So that's that suddenly came back to me as I was playing this. I'm like, oh, that's right. I got to remember. And the army I was playing had a guy that couldn't move. He just kind of clung on to other creatures that moved. So in order for me to move them at all and make them useful at all, I had to get a guy up to them and kind of tow them out into the spot where they would be valuable. So that was part of my challenge in this game.
Yeah, but you also, we didn't realize it in the beginning. We were talking about how each of our factions played, but I would say 90% of your units didn't cost anything at all.
Yeah.
And
so easy to get out.
You had a pile of magic to spend and nothing to spend it on until you drew into one of your bigger champions. I, on the other hand, was having to make moves and kill guys and discard my cards for magic
to keep the magic
to keep
flowing.
My guys going, because yeah. All of my guys, I had one set of units that were free, but everyone else cost one or two, or I just drew a guy at the end that cost eight. He was big. He was nasty. He would have changed the tide of battle.
Yeah.
Had I got him out and around my summoner, because by that point, my summoner had just taken so much damage, and you had him completely surrounded. It was the writing was
bottled
on
it.
Yeah. The writing was on the wall. I was trying to sneak around behind and come at you from your side, but you were able to successfully surround him and basically lock him out of the battle.
Yeah, I had one tricky card that caught you off guard that allowed me to move all my guys
and then attack six times.
Yeah, so that just one space meant that suddenly I had enough reach to get clean around behind you and mm-hmm. get on both sides of you. And at that point, you were in a whole lot more trouble, and you couldn't really plan on that. In fact, when I put the card down and said I get to move everybody one, you were kind of like, wait, what?
Yeah, because you had seven people or eight people on the board. Because you just dumped your entire hand out.
Yeah, because all my commons came out early. Because
all your commons came out early and were for free.
And they're free.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a testament to how well this game was designed, because each of these factions plays very differently. Like, I mentioned early on that the faction that I had, that I was playing, the Shadow Elves, by all, you know, just from looking at it, seemed like they would play very similar to the Mountain Vargath, because they wanted to get up in your face and they wanted to hit you, and
they
then
could move. They could hit and keep moving. Yeah.
And I think I would have had more success with a couple of better die rolls, because I had the one guy that could basically occupy spaces. Like, he'd get an extra move because he'd basically get to occupy the space of a person he just killed.
And he could kill somebody three away.
And shoot.
So you could
and he could shoot again.
Scream across the board. Yeah.
So, yeah, there was that high mobility, but the way that it manifested itself in the game was very different, because they were more ranged units than they were just up in your face and hitting you really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also kind of plinky, so like one damage at a time. That's where I got in trouble.
And plinky back in that they only had one hit point, if I recall correctly.
And so that's where I got in trouble, because I went ahead and attacked your one bigger common unit that got stronger as he was damaged.
Yeah.
And I forgot that I needed to kill him outright and not just like do little bits of damage, not do a damage of attrition to him. And that just powered him up to where he was able to smack my summoner for, what, 2 or 3 points in one go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I really enjoy this game, and it's, you know, I say this about a lot of games, but I really hope that, you know, this is something that finds its way to the table more often. Granted, how often is it that it's just two people here?
It is, and so if you're talking about your game group where you've got five or six players that show up all the time, you're right, this isn't going to come out very often. Or if it is, it's going to be the second game. Somebody's going to be playing Power Grid or something else with four, and you're going to be playing this beside them. But if you're like home with your 12-year-old kid, then this is the kind of thing that you can knock out between homework and going to bed, because it plays in half an hour, maybe 45 minutes if you're not very quick. We're not the fastest players on earth, and I think we were done in about half hour, 40 minutes. And so if that's your dynamic, or even spouses, if you're into this sort of stuff, then that's suddenly two-player games is real common for you to be going after, and that's a place where it would fit very nice.
Yeah, and I know the online community for this is pretty, it's a pretty big community. I mean, you can get in the Summoner Wars. I think it's second edition. I think you can get into that system for free playing like the two basic or four basic decks.
Yeah, it's online.
It's online. Yeah. And I know the community there is pretty robust. In fact, there's a podcast that's dedicated just to that. I believe they're called Discard for Magic.
Really?
Yeah, they're fairly new. I've been listening to them, and it's kind of been what's making... It's what has been giving me the itch to get this to the table.
And they are solely talking about Summoner Wars.
Solely about Summoner Wars. That's their whole... Just their whole thing. They've had Kobe on a couple times. They had, you know, people in that community that are high-ranked players that come on and talk about their favorite factions and basically give you, like, strategy. So it's a pretty robust podcast. I would highly suggest, if you're interested in Summoner Wars, to check out Discard for Magic.
Okay.
I listen to them on Spotify. I'm pretty sure you can find them wherever.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's that plug. But, I mean, as you say, I said before, like, we've shoehorned this as a three or four player game. I'm actually very interested to see how this plays as a four player 2v2 team game. Because I know
that's how I've played it in the past with four players.
Yeah, we've mentioned before that, you know, team games are far and few between that actually feel like team games.
Yes, absolutely. And this is a perfect example of a legit team game when you're playing two on two. And it's funny because I had the master set, which came with a mounted board. You're on these neoprene jobbies, which are very nice, very pretty too, by the way. They presumably came with that alliances set. But when I had that master set, I had like four or five of the paper boards thrown in, because you'd get started on a game and first of all, you'd start with a two-player game and somebody else would want to play. Other people would show up for game night and you'd throw them one of the paper maps and they could play, because it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. The setup is really easy and straightforward. So you could probably even play without a map if you wanted to. But those packets used to come with a paper map with all the different alliances that you would bring together. So it was always handy to have a couple of those just thrown in the box. And I imagine they're still in my box. I haven't opened my box in a long, long time. But so if you're playing four players, you have two maps for that, because I'd have the mounted map and then I'd have the map next to that. And then you can still start another game because you have enough factions that if you wanted to, you could play, you know, if six or eight people show up for game night, you could be playing.
You could have a Summoner Wars tournament.
Two, three, fours. I got winners on that table, whatever, and that kind of thing. And you could play this game. And there's enough interest here. And if you played the same deck and went from table to table and kind of round robined it, you'd kind of, you know, by the time you're getting to the end, everybody would kind of know their decks really well, even if you started from scratch, and you'd start having a little bit more oomph when you were playing. So that'd be kind of neat.
Might be something we can try to talk everyone into.
Yeah, we could.
We could certainly try.
Well, and at the May Getaway, it might be something where we have, if nothing else, we have enough people there that we could probably pull four or six. But I'd love to do the two-on-two again, because that's a lot of fun. Because somebody's like getting completely crushed, and you're like, hang on, I got you, and you know, you slide a couple of cards over that way, and suddenly they can start shoring up their position. We both came out, you know, the game tells you where you put your first wall, because one of the cards you get is a wall, and walls do just what you think they do. They get in the way, and that's sometimes a disadvantage on your side, but sometimes it's really nice to have a wall someplace, because it lets you get your back someplace where nobody can get to you. And both of us laid our walls out with one space in between, which gives you a little bit of room to walk in. There's a place there where you can kind of drop one of your grunts to kind of soak up damage and just hold that position. And now you start getting some kind of defensible position and you're working from behind that. So that sort of strategy kind of comes into play as you're knocking these things around. Now, when you get two players on each side, you've got suddenly that cornerback can be the guy rushing the passer. He can come off of that far edge and he's getting a diagonal direction towards you, and he gets a shot in on you that the guy directly in front of you doesn't get.
Yeah, because when you play walls, you can put them anywhere on your side of the board. And I think that means you can put them on your teammate's side as well.
Yep, I remember
doing
that.
So then you can start rushing units onto the other side of the board if need be. The walls, you didn't mention it, besides getting in the way, they also are your summoning point.
Right, there was where you spawn your guys.
So you have, that's another kind of movement that you have to manage, is not leaving your guys there so you can bring more.
Right, in. So you can bring more on. And in the special, the best spots, because there's usually a spot in front of that wall can be really strategic. So you get your guys on the board and you get them out of the way.
Get them out of the way so that you can bring the next set in next turn. Yeah, you know, I enjoyed trying out the Shadow Elves. I'll mark them as played.
Okay.
I would be interested in trying something different, or going back to the Vargath, because I don't know what it is about them. They just speak to me.
Oh,
I like the Minotaur like flavor of it, and
yeah, actually that's one of the ones I enjoy too, and that's one of the originals. That's one of the original armies.
Well, it was one of the original expansion armies. So they had like the
There were two box sets of
two box two sets each. Of two, and then they had like six or eight armies
add-ons,
that you could buy.
Yeah.
And then they had the master set, the first master set, which either had six or eight, and then they have the alliances, which has
a bunch,
because it's a reconfiguration. It's a mishmash of the different factions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of content here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are people online dumping their first edition for second edition.
Not me.
I mean, get it cheap.
Like, yeah.
They're offloading it. Go ahead and grab it, because, yeah, you won't be able to play in sanctioned tournaments, but who cares?
Yeah. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the first edition.
It's such a great game to just play in your basement with friends.
Yeah.
Or, as you mentioned, you know, young kids can pick it up. It's not that rules heavy.
Yeah, like I'd say 12 is probably where you want to start.
The basic rules are pretty, you know, you're up and running.
Oh, basic rules are simple. But then each card has the capability of adding a little wiggle to it. But you've got 12-year-olds playing Magic and doing it very well, which is far more complicated
and
than that.
And Pokemon earlier than that sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we failed to mention also in the opening segment that this is like a Kobe Dauch joint. And Kobe Dauch was most famous for his work on Heroescape and a bunch of other Hasbro properties. Mm-hmm. But Heroescape is really what he's known for. And I recall reading in an interview or hearing on an interview that his impetus for coming up with Summoner Wars is he wanted to make a miniatures game, but with cards. So with Heroescape, you already kind of had that. You've got those cards that basically are your
all
units,
your abilities,
your units, your ability. He just took it that one step further and made the units actual pieces of paper as well. And I mean, it does an amazing job of giving that Heroescape. It gives you that Heroescape
that
feel.
That vibe is there.
Yeah. And not in the you get to build your army in the most weird way possible, but each unit has its own special abilities.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like too game changing, but they're just small enough to where it gives every faction a little bit of flavor.
Right, and that all comes tailored. You're pulling a deck and you're running it, and you've got everything you need. So there's not the big long prep.
So yeah, it just is. It's an amazing little package that, you know, if you can find a set, I'm going to keep saying this. If you can find a set, play it. Go online, play it.
All right, so
it's definitely worth it,
and I know where you're going with
mm-hmm. this, and to just take it to the next iteration, it's definitely worth a 7 from us.
Absolutely, yeah. This is a very high 7 for me, as far as I'm concerned. And coming back to it after all these years, I'm like, son of a gun! If I think about all the crap games I have played since last time I played Summoner Wars, this is crazy.
Yeah, and you know, for a while this was on my trade pile, because, like John said, it's been 10 years since we played, except for that one random one-off.
Mm-hmm.
Just add this to the list of games that we've played that have to get into rotation.
Yeah, have to come back out onto the table
and,
more often.
Yeah. You know, it just—I don't know. It needs to be played more.
Yeah. Don't play B-minus games.
When there are A-plus games in your collection.
There's better stuff out there, so go find it and play it. Exactly.
But, I mean, every now and then you got to play a B-minus. You got to play some stuff so you
play new games to give it a shot.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of the time, halfway through a play, you're like, yeah, this one isn't doing it for me. Whereas this one, I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, I could probably play this faction 3 or 4 more times before I really start to make it ring. So, I mean, there's a little more staying power here.
That's the catch-22 with this game. I don't want to say it's a lifestyle game, but it very easily could be.
Yeah, you could play this once a month for 10 years.
and still not have explored it in any real way.
Yeah, and by then they'll have new factions out, and you'll still be kept playing catch-up.
Well, luckily, the first edition is done, so it's a complete set.
So, okay.
But yeah, I mean, if they were still printing first edition, they're still printing first edition factions, I'd probably still be getting them, even though we weren't playing. Like, I'm looking at my box here. I've got one, two. I've probably got 20 factions. I got 20 decks here that are still in their shrink.
Yeah, I cracked one open tonight.
Yeah, I did too. And, you know, honestly, I'm looking forward to opening these up because, I mean, it's just a lot of damn fun. Yeah, go out and play it.
Just let me type in here. Hang on a sec. Do some talking while I just look this up real quick.
I'll just edit out the dead air.
Or you could do that. $14.95 $15 or best offer gets you the Summoner Wars Master Set from the first edition.
Wait, the Master Set?
Summoner Wars Master Set first edition has the first listing on eBay is $14.95.
Wow, that's eight factions.
Yeah.
Dang. All right, guys, get on eBay.
I was going to say that one won't last.
No. It shouldn't last. That's the real crux.
That's just wrong.
All right. Any parting thoughts there?
That's all I got.
Summoner Wars, play it.